As Nettie is just playing, I believe the Holy Spirit is ministering to us, but I just heard this word, and I believe God is saying to some of us, come in out of the cold. Come in out of the cold. I sometimes get this vision of a hut or a cabin, and there's a fire going, and the Lord is in there, and it's a safe space. It's a place of warmth and love and acceptance. But sometimes we get stuck out in the cold, shame and condemnation and lies and fear. And so, Lord, we just thank you. We just come and cancel that by the blood of the Lamb. But there's some of you guys that I want to encourage, just even forget about yourself, put the focus on Jesus and come in from the cold. As we stay in this space, I see there's somebody that they got their foot caught in something like a net or a rope. And just with all eyes closed, if you want to get in, you want to get into that place of God's presence and His warmth and truth and acceptance as a child of God, but it's as if you got stuck somewhere. And just with all eyes closed, if that speaks to your heart, just raise your hand. I'm just going to pray because I see how Christ just cuts you out. Just raise your hand if you feel you're stuck. Struggling to get in. Lord, I just thank you to whosoever soul that speaks. Lord, I just thank you, Jesus, that if the Son has set us free, we are free indeed. And I pray that freedom over this individual. Either if they're here or in the mother's room hearing, Lord, I pray that you'll just cut loose the ropes and bondage of lies. And you'll pull them close in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Let's not get swept away, guys. Swept away with the things of the flesh. This might be the most important moment of your year. In Afrikaans, it is vloerien. It's just like layer upon layer of rain just coming down. And I just believe just through the Holy Spirit, it just washes and just cleanses our souls. For those that are willing to receive like children, it just washes. It just washes. Just rains over us. Just rains over us. Just rains over us. Just rains over us. Thank you, Lord, that graciously you just rain over us with your presence. Thank you, Lord, you would just wash away the dust of the world, the dust of the past, the dust of fear, the dust of rejection. In Jesus' name, you'll wash it away.
I just felt, I saw two pictures. I saw a picture of the woman with the issue of blood, and I saw Jacob when he was wrestling with the angel, with Jesus. And the woman with the issue of blood was like this outcast, and she was in this place of bondage for many years. And Jacob, on the other hand, was also confronted with himself daily, his deceitful nature and his sinful nature. And there was a moment where there had to be a pushing away of things to get to God. There was a wrestling match that both of them had to go through in the flesh to actually touch the power of Jesus and connect with Him. And there's power in the connection. There's power in the connection when we actually touch Jesus. And many times there's the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life that's causing these crowds to surround us, and that's causing our human nature to want to sort of rebel against God. But if we actually give ourselves to just wrestle for a while, to just like get to a place where we've got that tenacity, that pushing through, that, you know, I'm going to push through the crowds until I touch Jesus. I'm going to not let Jesus go until He blesses me. You know, that tenacity. If we can get to that place, power will be released. And I just sense that there's been a wrestling match going on the past few weeks. And God is announcing this time now as a time of touching Him. If we can just push through.
I believe the Holy Spirit says it's done. So I don't know what some of you prayed or agreed upon with the Lord, but I believe that He's taking us to that place, that He's taking you to that place. Just imagine getting home one day and God smiling over you saying, well done. Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Well done, good and faithful son. Well done, good and faithful daughter. That you not only receive the full inheritance there, but the fullness of the kingdom here on earth that He had had planted for you and planned for you. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys. Thank you for your fingers. We appreciate that. I believe there's just a yieldedness that the Lord is asking us as children of the Lord. He's just asking us for a yieldedness. And on the other side of that, a pushing through, but also a yieldedness. And on the other side of that lies a real blessing in freedom, and that's the upside down thing of the kingdom. Just have a moment just to gather yourself. We'll start off just now. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for the moment that we had where you can speak into our hearts, and thank you, Lord, for the freedom that you bring, and thank you that you speak to us prophetically. Thank you, Lord, for your grace. Lord, I thank you that even as you bring a message this morning through me, Lord, that it will just unlock hearts and just touch hearts. And I just thank you for your grace. Thank you just for your grace on us as your people, on us as your children. And thank you for the fullness of what you have for us. And may we walk in that fullness and the full inheritance that Christ paid for. And thank you, Lord, as Sam just saw in the Word, Lord, thank you that Christ was broken for us, and that we can walk, because of what He paid for, we can walk freely in that, Lord. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe just quickly, just to come back to that question. Who sensed this week that following the Lord and being a disciple of the Lord and reading His Word and having His Spirit was a real reality in your life this week? Just honestly, a real reality. Who sensed that they would have liked some more evidence, if I may call it that, just of the Lord's hand in their life? And as I think this all ties in with what maybe happened in ministry time, is that I believe a lot lies in the yieldedness and the childlikeness, and that's just something that the Lord has taught us through difficult circumstances, tough seasons and easier seasons. And I just sat in my heart to share some of those testimonies this morning. Some of it you might have heard in Men's Monday or in a meeting or a coffee, so please excuse me. But this is a whole lot of these testimonies that I wrote down. And trusting that the Holy Spirit will highlight the right testimonies for the right moment. And that He will speak into our hearts. The title this morning is The Father Heart and Then The One Who Knows. And for me it's just... We're going to build a foundation firstly because whatever we see and hear and are taught or read about the Lord are seen through the lenses of what we believe about His character. And so if I got hurt by my father, my natural father, and I didn't receive healing for that, or in fact, if my natural father was absent, and he was far or either far from me, and I don't get healed, then I can step into a place where, unfortunately, wherever I hear anything about God the Father, wherever I read something, I can look at it through the lenses of that old hurt. And so whenever we're building something, whenever we receive a teaching or hear even a prophetic word, we just need to say, Lord, how's my lenses? God, how's my heart? God, how's my wife? Thanks, Leif. Okay. Not seeing that through the lenses of anything other than... Anyway. And so it's good to know and to double check sometimes, Lord, where's my heart? What do I believe about you? What do I believe about you? And that's so important that... we do that whenever we build anything, because the foundation is paramount. Just in a quick nutshell, we did a mini-series on friendship. I believe we've done what we could. And if you haven't heard it, maybe after we've uploaded it, go and listen to it, because I believe it all speaks about balance. For me, what stood out about friendship is balance. And so you can go to the next slide. The last 2 weeks, or the last two times that I preached, we just said, hey man, we all need friendships and good friendships. We need to be anchored in friendships. But the first friendship you need is to be a friend with Jesus, is to get your fulfillment, your contentment in the friendship with Christ. Otherwise, there might be an ill balance in seeking that with other people. And so if I'm not a friend with Christ, and if He doesn't speak into my life, there's a tendency that I'm going to seek that of Johan or Johan. And even though they're stunning guys, they don't have and they can't reach where Christ can reach. There's only one friend that can truly reach in certain places in my heart. Not in my wife, which I love and adore and respect, can reach where Christ can reach. And so it's important that the foundation of any friendship in our lives as Christians need to be Christ first. When I've got a problem, I turn to Him first. When I've got a story, I turn to Him first. When I've got a question, I turn to Him first. And yes, He will then use the Yuan, the other Yuan, or the Ednas in my life. But it's a first a faith in Christ, and He's the one that knows. John 15, we had a look at so beautifully. No one has greater love than this, that someone would lay down his life for his friends. You are my friend if you do what I command you. And so we went on and we elaborated on those scriptures, and it was just important to see how the world does friendship and how the Word establishes friendship. One is performance and transactional. If you invite me for coffee, I'll invite you for coffee. If you reply to my WhatsApp, I'll reply to your WhatsApp. If you invite me for a bribe, I'll invite you for a bribe. But God says, no, no, no. That's not friendship. Friendship is if you lay down your life. If faithfully you lay down your life and you say, I give. I give because I've received. And I come from a place of fullness in this friendship. I said there, be a fulfilled friend, be a content friend, and then you can go to the, yeah, thank you. Don't expect from people what you can only receive from God, and likewise, do not expect from God what He intended to provide to you through people. So it's just to get that balance right. And then I think hopefully most of us had just done a bit of a look at our friendships at the moment in our lives to make sure, Lord, am I having the right expectations from my friends, and am I being a God-first friend or friend-first, Christ-friend-first friend with others? This is good to recap and make sure that the Lord can finish this work in our lives. But amongst those things and the two sermons, I said there was two things that stood out in the Word for Abraham. I said that he was a man of faith, hence a friend of God. And also he was in the know. In other words, he knew what God was up to. Not everything, but a lot. We saw that in the Old Testament. Both those things. Faith, and he knew what God was up to. God even said, shall I not tell, in my own words now, shall I not tell Abram what I'm busy doing? And so he shared his heart with him. And that's a beautiful thing of friendship. As myself and Ralph grows in friendship, there's certain things we'll start to share. Ralph will be in the know as we grow in trust and love and even faith and faithfulness in our friendship. And it's in that place and from that place that we're going to build today. Because God is a God that knows. Who has seen that recently, that God is a God that knows? God is a God that knows. And that's just something that stood out for me in this week when I was just seeking the Lord of what He wants to say. I believe it's a season where God says, He is the one that knows. And you're like, oh, that's pretty wide. Yes, I know. I had trouble working through that. So you won't have the full extent of what the Word says. You just have a couple of practical testimonies and one or two things that I'm going to throw in there. But if that creates a thirst in you, go and search the Scriptures and say, Lord, I want these testimonies in my life. Now, firstly, I said, let's start with the Father heart. If I say the Father heart of God, what's the words or the ideas that comes up in your mind? Anybody? Love, okay. Love. Compassion. Acceptance. We're speaking about the Father heart of God. These are the words that's coming up. Protection. Caring, yes. I thought hearing, but that was just me. Caring. Guidance, yes. Guidance. Nurturing, yes. What else comes up if I say the Father heart of God? Strong, constant, they go together. To give, yes. Broad shoulders to carry, yes. It's more than one word, but it's good. Broad. Available, that's good. Available's good. We're going to roll. Let's go on. Forgiving, yes. Patient. Jesus help us. Patient. Any other words, ideas that come up when I say the Father heart of God? Anything negative comes up? Discipline? Discipline becomes a beautiful word once you get children. So Stephen, just hang in there. It's one of these days. It's going to be a powerful, amazing, biblical word to you. Yes, discipline might be, but here we won't necessarily put up our hands, but if there's a hurt, if there's an aina around father ring and the Father heart of God, of maybe something that you got to knock in life with, then this is where it might come up. If I say Father heart of God and you went through something horrible and you've not been loved whole by the grace of Christ, it might just resonate now. You don't have to share it, obviously. Yeah, it's maybe a bit much. Only people like me do that. But if there's something that comes up in your heart, or something that, you know, just, shut up, Ratif, just go on, then you know, let's deal with this. Let's be accountable. Let's chat through this and let's pray through this. I, for one, I've said this many times before, but it's so beautiful, illustrated in my own life. I had an amazing dad. He passed away when I was 21. Amazing guy. We were very close, communicated great. We chatted a lot and really openly, which in some Afrikaans homes is not always like that or done like that. So I was privileged in a dad that was really a good communicator. So when I got saved, I could easily hear the Lord's voice because I had faith for it. I knew the Father heart. Yet my father and my mother separated and got divorced when I was 6 or 7, 7-ish, and he went and obviously stayed somewhere else. And so many years later, I realized I'm struggling to know that He is Emmanuel. I know if I've said this before, but it's a good illustration to, if there's something hurt about the Father heart of God, that you can just go check in your own life first. And so I said, yes, He talks to me, He loves me, He speaks to me through the Word. That's amazing, but I'm not sure if He's with me at my home. It didn't feel like Emmanuel to me, yet I needed the healing. He didn't need to change, but He was gracious in leading me through that so that I have a good picture, a good understanding of the Father heart of God. And so that foundation is very, very good. None of you said one word. When we asked of one word about the Father heart of God, there is one word that you did not say, and that is the word Jesus. Jesus. If you think of the Father and the Father heart of God, how about the word Jesus? Why am I saying that? John 14:9 says, Jesus said to him, "Have I been among you all this time without your knowing me, Philip? the one who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? The one who has seen me has seen the Father. Yeah, but I never see the Lord. I don't understand God. I don't get His Father heart. Don't understand it. Go and look at Jesus. Go read the Gospels and you'll see the Father. He's a good son. Any of the sons in the house, do you often, or do you find yourself doing the things that your father did or do? Do you? Sometimes you do. I did. Some of them was good and some of them not that good, but Jesus did that. And so if we want to have a beautiful and even the correct, even said the correct picture of God the Father, the one who has seen me, Jesus, has seen the Father. Another place where in the Word I believe we see the Father heart of God is the story of the prodigal son in Luke 15, where the father sent him out, he gave him everything, and yet he waited. He didn't wait with an attitude, he didn't wait with a long finger, he didn't wait with some book. He waited with a heart yearning for his child, his son, to come back. And when he did, he girded up his loins, he pulled up his garment, and he ran down the road on the farm so the word says to go and embrace and hold and bring his son back in home. And that's just a beautiful picture for me. So sonship for me has been and will always be a great place where my understanding of God's heart is. Galatians 3:26 says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. And so sonship and just the way in which he sees me explains to me how God views me and us. Yesterday at that dedication, there was a space where the dad, quite a cool guy, where he could pray for his son. And he said three words and then he burst out in tears and he couldn't say anything. And I just kept it hanging. We just waited. I just kept it hanging there. And he just sobbed as he prayed for his child, as he dedicated his child to the Lord. And it was just such a beautiful moment. It wasn't something that a guy usually chooses to do. But I just knew that's a picture of God the Father. That love, inexplicable love and emotions coming, just bubbling up. That care is just a picture of the love of God. And so I want to ask you, if need be, say, Lord, come and just stir again so that I can get to know the Father heart of God even better. Because it is a foundation, and it is the foundation of my sonship, my identity. And I want to get to know you. I've said this, we're going to have a couple of testimonies. One I shared just very briefly, where I got to know God the Father much better. It was in a picture of my dad. Who went to Stellenbosch? A couple of you. Okay. On Friday afternoons, I played rugby for Ice Fisher. And I did tell this once before, but I believe maybe it's for someone here. And Ice Fisher guys would stand on the one side of the field and the Simonsberg, the enemy, would stand on the other side of the field. Well, where's George? Ice Mare, the greater enemy, would stand on the other side. And so all their fans and their drunken student pals will stand on that side and ours on this side. And obviously I was playing hooker. Now, who knows the line? Sorry about last night, so please don't think about that. The box didn't make it. Whenever I had a line out, I wished it would be on our side, because then you'll be standing amongst the crowd throwing in the ball in the line out. But if you were to had to take a line out on the other side, you'll just have to walk into those drunken guys, get the ball, and then stand and hear everything about your mother, your uncle, your aunt, your oma, your pants, your weight, your stomach, your pensy, your everything you heard there. And so it wasn't a pleasant place to find yourself. Now what happened is my dad would come and watch rugby on Friday afternoons. Obviously he didn't wear a jersey, he was just normally clothed. And what he had done, and nobody would know that because they wouldn't recognize him, he would never come and stand on our side. He would always go stand on the enemy's side. He would always go and stand on the side of the opposing team. He wouldn't say a word. And then when they kick out, he'll just move slowly. He didn't say anything. And then you'll just see, when as I walk and they're shouting and screaming and swearing at you, you'll just stand there amongst them, waiting for me. And that was it was just such a sense of God. It's just such a sense. I wasn't saved then. I later after his death I realized that was God. That was a picture of God. And they will kick out and they will swear and they will curse and cuss and go on, but I'll see him there. And such a confidence will just rise. Such a peace will just rise. That the one that truly matters in this crowd believes in me. The one that truly matters in this crowd is for me. And so I would then take the line out. And then in the next time, if it's down here, he'll just move slowly. Not say a word. Sometimes even pick up the ball. Just wink at me and just give the ball. Nobody knew. Such a beautiful picture of God the Father. That's what he's inviting us into. And that's a place of trust that he just stirred in my life. And there's pictures in your life. Some of them, delete them. Some of them, keep them. Just ask the Lord to just go through them because it's necessary. So a trust needs to come from the sonship the Lord gives us. Psalm 56:9, it's not on there. When I cry unto thee, then shall mine enemies turn back. This I know, God is for me. So in that moment, being an unbeliever, and today I realized what God was doing there, the picture he was painting about himself for me on those Friday afternoon rugby pitch scenarios. This I know, that guy is for me. And today, whatever you're facing, whatever the enemy is shouting at you, whatever you need to go into, I just want to speak over your life. This I know, God is for you. And he's not intimidated. He's not intimidated because the battle has been won. Now let's go to where we actually should be. We've laid a foundation, and hopefully you know that God's got a beautiful character and he's got a good, loving father heart. But today I want to just want you to remember these couple of words. God knows. Whatever it is, wherever you are, whatever the circumstances is, this we can clearly see from Scripture, and I'm going to show it to you through our lives, is that God is the God that knows. Who's ever been in a situation or a season where you just feel God's not seeing this? Come on, be honest. Let's not be religious. Come. Okay, great. 16 van ons. Honest. Now, all of us have probably thought, well, God does not know what's going on. Who's ever thought that God does not even understand me? That might have happened as well, but he does. Firstly, God knows. You can go to the next slide. Just let's just look at Scripture. Psalm 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite." In John, then the second line, it says, "For God is greater than our heart and knows all things." Say all things. Say it with a bit more gusto. All things. Okay. God knows all things. Sometimes that is actually offensive as well, isn't it? To the flesh. Let's be honest. Come on. But he's so beautiful because he knows the end from the beginning. I once was in the bathroom and I asked God a question. I said this before to someone, I'm not sure if it was here, but I said, Lord, how are you doing? I didn't want to come with my list. I just at least wanted to pretend I'm polite. And I said, Lord, how are you doing in prayer? And I just immediately sensed the Lord say, brilliant. Brilliant, like with a lot of confidence. And in that moment, I just thought, well, have you seen what's going on earth? I just had that, like, have you missed what's going on down here? Should I email? Should I send up a message? It's just... And then it just clicked. He knows the end. He knows the end of all of this. We're in a process. He's seen the end of all of this. That's why he can say brilliant. He's not attached to and caught up in my time and the thing I'm struggling with. Yes, he's got a lot of compassion and love for me and going through it and wanting to see Christ's likeness grow inside of me more than breakthrough coming in my life. But he knows the end. And so he can, every day he can say brilliant. He's not freaked out about our economy. He's not freaked out about our politics. He's not freaked out about Russia or North Korea. He's not freaked out about American politics. He's not even freaked out of where the church globally are. Because he knows the end. My dad says it's going brilliant. Go test that word, but that's just something he dropped in my heart. Omniscience. What a difficult... It took me a couple of Google listens to know how to pronounce that. But it It apparently means to the state of having total knowledge, the quality of knowing everything. Our God, my dad, knows everything. God knows what Bernard's thinking now. I hope it's good, Bernard. God knows everything. He knows how Cecilia's week's going to be. He knows if Philip is thinking about his bicycle at the moment. Apparently he's not. But God knows. That's tongue in cheek. But you know, he knows us through and through. And easily said, obviously he knows the amount of hair on Philip's head as well. Which makes it easier. Isaiah 46, 9 to 10 says, "For I am God and there is no other. There is no other. I am God and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning." Declaring the end from the beginning. Declaring the end. Make that your own today. No, but what about my kids? What about their education? What about South Africa? What about Africa? What about this? What about... Declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, things not yet done, saying, "My counsel shall stand and I will accomplish all my purpose." But Lord, what about... No buts. Remember the Father heart? Remember the character of God? Remember the stories that you have together with Him? And if you don't have too many, let's just make them. Let's just make stories with the Lord. Not make up stories. That's heresy and sect. That's a sect. It's not what should happen. Let's not make stories up with Him. Let's make stories. Let's make life stories with our dad. And remember that He's got a good heart. And His beautiful character, and we can see Him through Christ. The thing is that many times not knowing is fearful. Is it only me? Come on. For who's had that it's a bit fearful if you don't know? You don't know how somebody's going to react. You don't know what they're going to say. Are they going to love me? Are they going to reject me? You don't know what's going to go on in your bank balance. You don't know about where's the next job or contract or even sometimes food's going to come from. You don't know. It sucks not knowing. But it doesn't suck that much if you realize you've got Emmanuel with you, the one that ever knows everything. And I want us, even if you just take that concept, that biblical truth, that nugget of gold with you and make it your own and say, "Lord, plant it here in my soul. May it bear fruit. You're a good Father and you know." We've told you about our seasons, crazy seasons. And they kind of don't stop in our life. But we're camping under that tree that He's the God that knows. Sorry. He's the God that knows. And I can eat the fruit of that. I can eat the testimony. And even in preparation for today, I can just pick a fruit. And I'm like, "Man, this is good. I forgot about this. Man, this is good." I hope this is making sense. Just before we go to number four, the fact that God knows does not mean that you're always going to know. For me and Frida and our type of personality, that sucks. But so God is pruning me and creating patience in my life. And He's taking me from fear to faith. Getting major visions from the Lord, massive promises, but not having a clue how to get there or what to do. He knows, but He's just not telling me. But in that trust and relationship is birthed as well. So when I'm saying, yes, you've got a God that knows, He's not always going to tell you what He knows. Except that He's brilliant. And that, I believe, is where the yieldedness comes in. That's where the pushing through and coming and saying, I want to push through. Where the Jacob wrestling is coming through. Not being offended, not hardening your heart and saying, "Well, if I don't know, I'm rather going to stay cautious and I'm going to stay with fear. I'm rather going to get this insurance and that insurance. I'm rather going to have plan B, C, D, E, and F. But I'm not going to heal because I don't. There's too much risk involved. That's not the kingdom." I'm not saying this harshly. I'm saying, come. As we become children, we can follow. As we become children, we can follow hard after Him. And He's going to constantly take us to places. He's going to drive the car. We're going to be in the back seat. Sometimes He's going to tell you exactly where we're going. Sometimes you're not going to know. No, Cecilia. It's not always that easy. but you need to trust the driver. We had to learn it the hard, but maybe not that hard way. And we'll not exchange that for a world. And sometimes some of you might going through that season where you just need to trust the character, the heart of the driver, because he's not sharing the GPS coordinates with you. Is that speaking to anybody's heart today? Or is it just me that's enjoying this? Number four, what does God know? God knows everything, yes, but what does he know? He knows you. Oh, that's such a beautiful thing. He knows you. He knows you. Even though the pastor thinks he's got an idea and he thinks he knows you, he probably doesn't. Sorry about that, he's trying. But the Spirit inside of him knows you, knows you, knows you. God knows you. Again, we can go back to Scripture, not firstly testimony, not firstly experience, because experience and emotions can sometimes lead us astray. We go back to Scripture. And upon that we base and we get testimonies. No time for drinking. Psalm 139:4 says, even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. That's sometimes a scary thought. Matthew 10:30 says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows. I had that. There, you can go to the next slide. He knows you when you don't look the part. Who's ever had that season in their life where God just prophetically comes and he proclaims something over you, he says something over you, and like, was that for me? Anybody had that humbling experience yet? Amazing opportunity where God just speaks this amazing thing about you. I know he said, mighty man of valor, and I just came out of the world broken, demokar, messed up, and somebody would just say, mighty man of valor. Gave me a new name. He said, faithful warrior in Christ. I'm like, are you speaking Greek? What is that? But yet my spirit that was just born knew that, even though I didn't look the part. I didn't look, smell anything, sound the part. But God spoke something into my life. Has he spoken his all-knowing truth over you? And if he's done that, have you maybe forgotten that? Some of us sometimes need to just dust that off of what he said about us. That is so important. I said that the world saw Saul, God saw Paul. The armies of God saw a little shepherd boy, God knew a giant slayer. Hello, this giant slayer sitting amongst you. You need to decide. Am I going to heal? Am I going to take the risk of saying, Lord, I want to trust you. I'm going to trust who you are and what you say about me in the Word, what you say about me prophetically. I'm not only just going to listen to it, but I'm going to walk in it. I'm going to pursue it. I want the fullness of what you had planned for me on this earth. I want the fullness. He was known as Simon, yet Jesus said, from now on you will be Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. What is he saying about you? Mighty men, mighty women of valor. Princes, princesses, whatever the Lord is laying on your heart. Sons and daughters. What is he saying about you? Or what has he been saying about you? What had he to say about you way back? And are you still remembering that? Second one, under God knows you, is just, when you don't feel the part, God knows. Just a quick testimony I want Edna just to share of a season she went through. Maybe you're in such a season where we need to remind ourselves of what God had said.
Thank you. So we all know that our experiences with Jesus is very personal. Although the Word is the Word, how we experience Jesus is usually how we are and how we see and understand things. And he gets us and he speaks to us in a way that gets to our hearts. And so I got radically saved when I was 16 years old, and it was just, I entered this divine romance with Jesus. So I got to know him as this amazing Jesus that loves me. And just intimately. So I was really actually privileged to have it that way, and I was discipled in that as well. And so I would have quiet time, and I usually have a place where I go to with Jesus, and I had this like wood cabin in the spirit, because I have a vivid imagination and I see pictures. That's how I spiritually relate to God. And I would see this wood cabin, and I would go there with Jesus, and there'd be a fire and there'd be food, and we'd just talk. And it was so special, and I was like, wow. And I took that as this is really happening. And then I went through a hectic time in my first year, where basically throughout to my second year, I needed a lot of healing. So God came, he usually saves you, then it's honeymoon season, and then he starts dealing with all the stuff. So I was crying for a year, crying every Sunday. I think people thought there's that crying chick again. So I'm like, every single Sunday. And in our church, I was in every nation at that stage. There was a lady who did counseling through the church. And I went to see her. I saw her on a weekly or every second week, I can't remember. And she would just counsel me and pray with me, and a lot of deliverance, a lot of healing. It was a special, special year. But in that time where it went so bad, I kind of lost faith and I lost hope. And, you know, I made up these pictures of me and Jesus. He's not really that close, and he doesn't really love me that much. And so I was working through all of these things. And then one day she was praying for me. She's like, what's this? And then she'd pray a bit more, and then she'd stop. And she doesn't know if she has to say this now. And then after a while, she said, okay, I'm just going to come out and say it. Jesus is asking why you don't come to the wooden cabin anymore. And I was like, ah, he's real, and he loves me, and he loves spending time with me. And that was so, like, liberating. And I realized he really was there. It really happened. It wasn't a figment of my imagination. And he's so real, and he knows me. And he knows how to get to me. And that woman, he told that woman. So, yeah, he really knows us. And that was really special to me. That's, I think that was a turning point for me in my walk with Jesus. And then the other thing he actually said, I must share this, but when I was in Standard 5, I used to say, I'm going to marry a Retief. And I'm going to call my son Retief. I was just like, this is an awesome name. I just love this name. So my friend actually drew a picture of me. I just couldn't find it. A little picture, this booklet of me being married with Retief, like me in my wedding dress, and then Retief and Edna and our children. She drew this little ID book. And when I showed it to him, he was like, what?
It was in what year? 1997.
Yeah, so that was long ago. God knew.
I believe we need to trust the one that knows. Firstly, identity-wise, he knows who you are. The world, Facebook, social media, parents, maybe an ill-equipped mother, father, maybe have said things about you and called things up and spoken and prophesied false prophecy, spoken things over your life that you're not. And my heart is just, God is the God that knows. But it's firstly the God that knows you. And it's just to take that back to him. To say, Lord, let's just speak about this again. Who am I? Who am I again? Through your word, but then also these massive, amazing encounters that we have with the Lord. And if you've got weird encounters, you're not going to freak us out. The best thing to do is just be accountable about it. Have a good, solid, fruit-bearing accountability partner saying, this is the way the Lord speaks to me. I believe it's in line with the word. What are you saying? And just see how God just comes and he just blesses you with these truths. He can speak to me next to the rugby field and bring something about his character and about my identity. He can speak through a counselor after a very hard season in your life. Psalm 139, 1-3 says, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. You are acquainted with all my ways. even before a word is on my tongue, as we heard earlier, behold, O Lord, you know it all together. Who believes that God knows who you are? It's just mission, godly mission, through Christ and through the word and through fellowship and accountability and discipling by Christ first, that we get to that space with, yes. And sometimes it's a layer upon layer that God just peels down. There's identity things that He's still imparting and yielding up and loving whole in my life. And guess what? The day before I give my last breath on this earth, He'll still be busy just shaping Christ, Christ's identity. Faithful warrior in Christ, He'll still be shaping that. So don't be too hard on yourself either, but let's not just get stuck, because we serve a God that knows. What else did you know? God knows the situation. God knows the situation. You see, in Christ walking His 3-year ministry, knowing people, the Samaritan woman at the well, He just knew. Prophetically, He knew Simon was actually Peter. Zacchaeus, He knew where He was going and what He wanted to do there. Everything He just foreknew, like His Father, He knew these things. And who's had situations where you thought, what's going to happen here, and then you see God had known about it? We've made you a part of the journey in our life, or most of you. We've made you part of the journey because that's what I believe church is, about Edna going to teach this year. And especially at one of the leaders' meetings, we just shared. That was so out of the blue. That was so not our planning, that she's going to go and teach for 2 terms. But yet we just sensed the Spirit so clearly on this. We just sensed the Lord so clearly on this, and we had to say yes. We were accountable about it to about 6 people. And they just came back and said, yes, she should go and teach, even though it did not make practical sense. And also, financially, it just blessed our family, and it helped us in a gap where we needed that. And so we're just like, thank you, Lord. But as it is, after 2-3 weeks at the school, they already asked her, please stay on next year. And we're like, okay, this is interesting, but we serve a God that knows. And so we went into a 3-day fast, and we said, Lord, just as the world might think, financially this makes sense that she stays on. But yet we're not making financial decisions. We're not even many a times making practical decisions. We're just wanting to make God decisions. Please don't quote me if I can't give context to that. But we just want to make Father Emmanuel, what is the Lord and the Word saying, decisions. And so we went into that fast, and I just sensed, and it was a bit of a tug of war, but we got peace, and we were accountable that she's not going to stay on next year. After that, there was 2 more options of, what about this? And it just looks better. And then what about this? And it just looks much better. And you're like, God has spoken. The one that knows has spoken. And I'm not going to go into the detail, because I don't want to highlight anything that is not the Lord's heart. But I can say this, is that after we've made that decision and said no, even though we don't know the future, but we trust the one that knows and has been so faithful forever in our life. After that, God made at least 2 to 3 breakthroughs just in our life that has erased 2 debts that we had in our life as well, which is a confirmation of another prophecy. You might say, well, that's just maybe that was this course. That was just tufalach. But I know that there was a place where we had to say, no, this is the one we follow. That is what He's saying. He knows better. And then these things just fell into place. If you want to know the details of that, I'll openly share that. I don't mind, but I don't want to do it in this context. What I do want to say is, trust the one that knows. Trust the one that knows. We were in this week just saying, what, Lord, this is crazy. I want to be faithful in following Him. I want to be faithful when He's standing in the midst of the crowd, in between the enemy, saying, I'm going to trust what you say, not all of these other voices. These other voices can go to hell for all that I care. But there's one voice here that does matter. It's not the voice of mammon. It's not the voice of idols. Let's call it that. It's the voice of the Father, the one that knows that we trust. At the Power and Love conference 2 weeks ago, we had an activation session. I'm just sharing a couple of testimonies. Is that all right? Activation session where you will stand in long lines and you'll just close your eyes and put up your hand, and then a total stranger will just come and then just lay their hands on you, and then they'll just prophesy over you, just speak encouraging words. And I had an amazing word, a guy that Yeah, I had a skinny jean and sneakers on, and so he said, "Oh, God says you got a heart for worship, and you should pursue that and push in." I'm like, "Is it the clothing, or is it really?" But I didn't. I was asking the Lord about the nations, and Lord, what's UK, Europe? Lord, speak to me. Speak through me to a stranger. And he speaks about worship. Yet at the beginning of the year, I started with guitar, and so I'm like, "Okay, cool. I should actually pursue that and take that up." That was actually not the testimony I wanted to share, but I had the privilege to go lay my hand on someone, and it was a lady, a young girl, probably in her 20s, and I'm like, Afrikaans, English, she's like English, and I'm like, okay, American, she's actually from America. And then I just, as I want to start praying, I just clearly, like in the spirit, just see and I hear Samantha. I'm like, okay, cool, this is quite clear, I know this voice. And then you obviously, as you do with a prophecy, you don't say, "Thus says the Lord, Samantha." No, you just say, "Do you know someone, or is this name something that you recognize?" I'm like, and as I say the name, she just bursts out. She says, "That's my best friend." I'm like, praise God, he's here. And that just opened up, and there was very deep things that the Lord did. And then as you moved and you were faithful in just in that one step of what God didn't say Samantha, X, Y, and Z. He just said Samantha. And so I just stepped out, and as I said that, she said to my friend, and then God just opened up about hurts and stuff that God's going to do, calling her to run with him. And she was just taking that all in. And what I want to say is that there might be a word today, even not for you, but for somebody else. God is so perfect and all-knowing. There might be some seed that he's going to drop that is not even for you, but it's for somebody else. We've had in Bible school, in one of our modules with about the Holy Spirit, she just once gave a prophecy, I think, in a sermon, and called out somebody. And nobody stood up. And it was like, what? And then months, if not a year, and I don't recall the details, please hear my heart, I don't want to misquote, but like months later, somebody else in somewhere in the world listened to that sermon, and that was the word for them. Guys, we serve the God that knows. But we need to yield and open up ourselves. Maybe sometimes just get rid of the pride and say, "Lord, I want to be yielded. Please use me." The way in which we came to this place to show for Tableview is that we were waiting for the Lord for a couple of years just to release us into ministry. We were already in ministry, but to go pastor a church. And constantly I would see mist, and people would prophesy, "You're in the mist, you're on a boat, you're in the mist, you're in the mist." But the mist will lift suddenly. The mist will lift suddenly, and then you'll be able to see. And each time people will pray that, and then I'll just, in my imagination, it'll just lift. I did tell this once, I'm not sure where. It'll just lift, and all of a sudden I'll see Table Mountain in my imagination. And so I didn't make anything of it. And then somebody will pray, "You're not seeing, you don't know where God's going to send you," but the mist will lift, and then you'll just see. And then as they pray that for me in confirmation, "I've heard that," I just see Table Mountain. By the way, this is Shofar Table View, just to connect the dots for you. So I didn't even realize, as the God that was knowing, he was constantly giving me that picture. I couldn't even see that this is exactly it. The moment the call came, I'm like, oh yeah, he had known this all the time. My mother and I stayed in a little complex in Eversdal or Stellenberg in the northern suburbs. Every time I prayed about where is God going to send us, where is God going to send us, he showed me that house. Do you know what the name of the complex is? The name of the complex is Sunningdale. I can go show you that. And so it's just like, I didn't realize it then. I'm again in a season thinking about things and hearing stuff of God, but I'm not seeing it. But it's just beautiful how he just comes. The word says it's the glory of a God to hide a matter. It's the honor of a king to search it out. Are we just sucked into this culture and this world and being all adulty and stuff? Or are you still seeking the things of the Lord? Are you still hunting down the promises of God, the gold of God, the truth of God about who you are and the situations that you face or your friends face? I was working as a lawyer in Malmesbury. Can I share one or two more testimonies? Thank you. Okay, Bianca, this one's for you. I was working as a lawyer in Malmesbury, but it never came off the ground. Two quick testimonies. Got a massive first deal. Big scoop. They're landing an international cable via the sea. They landed that at Azefontein. They wanted me to do all the contracting of all the farms and all the areas into the substation for landing this internet international cable. And this is a major scoop at that stage that I got for doing this deal. And I prayed about it, and God showed me the Titanic. And I just saw the iceberg, that you don't see what is under the water. And I can't obviously divulge any details, but I just saw the pick of this massive thing. And then God just clearly said to me, you don't know what's going on under the water. And so that didn't leave me. I'm like, Lord, this is my moment. This is how my practice can just open up in Malmesbury. Lord, this is the provision. God just keeps on showing me that vision. And so I actually had to push, and I asked for a massive deposit, and I just then said, no, well, I can't. And I just pulled out of it, which does not make sense to the flesh or in business or for a new practice in a different town. Months later, I got the guy that got me the job, and I said, hey, how's that doing? He said, well, lots of people worked on that, but they never paid them. Because of some other stuff, I cannot go into the details. And I never came through. It didn't realize in the way it should have realized, and it was actually quite hard on a lot of contractors. What I'm going to say, God is the God that knows. But are we humble enough, even if something looks good, are we humble enough to test, is it God? Because he's a dad. He's got a good heart, and he knows. The other one was, I had a dream about an aggressive, just like a red snake coming to attack me in my dream as I was working in an orchard. And then I wrestled this thing down, but it was a massive battle. And then I won that battle with the Lord. I think I just shouted out Jesus or something. I woke up, didn't know what it was all about. 2 weeks later, I was working on a deal, and I was working for a party against an opposition. And then the attorneys I was up against, they were actually working for my client, which they're opposing in one deal, but also in another transaction. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. But if you do that, you'll know some information about that that will influence the other transaction. It's a commercial problem, especially for a lawyer. And I said to them, I don't believe this is ethical. And in fact, if you're going to go on with either one of these deals, I'm going to take you to the law society. And then the red snake came. I had a fight on my hands. I'm like, who do you think you are? And just like a massive manifestation. And but when it happened, it was still a war. It was still not a nice thing to go through. But immediately God had warned me. The God that knows had warned me about this battle. And I knew the end about this battle. And it didn't cost me too much. But I just said, if you go on with this, I will take you to the law society. I will not stay back. And at the end of the day, God came through. But he had warned me. The God that knows your situations, guys. But it's not only personal, it's for other people. So many times we have the privilege to speak into other people's lives. I'm going to end off with the following. He's the God that knows. He's the God that knows you. He's the God that knows all situations. For us, it's to walk in the Spirit. For us, it's to humble and yield ourselves and say, Lord, help, please. Practically, this and this and this makes sense, but that might not be what you're thinking. What are you thinking? What are you doing? And then lastly, God is the God of your future. Do you believe that? I don't care if you're young or old. Do you believe that God is the God of your future? It can start here today with the right attitude and yieldedness. It can start here today, but we see it all through Scripture. And I love Psalm 16. The Lord knew that she was actually going to marry a Retief. Lucky girl. That was a joke. Probably not. You called me. No, I'm very privileged. Psalm 16 says the following, Lord, you are my portion and my cup of blessing. You hold my future. I want to tell all of you, I want to speak it over your families, if I may, just say shields up if you don't want it. That would be not smart, not wise, but God knows your future. God holds your future. Does that mean we are passive or we do what we want? No, no, no. God knows your future and has a plan. As you humbly say, I'm a child of God and I'd like to follow your ways. You're going to help me, you're going to equip me, you're going to grace me to do so. I'm not going to be Lord over my life, my own life. You're going to be Lord over my life, because that's the future we talk about here. Not one of rebellion. Sorry, there's not an escape clause there. And my cup of blessing, you hold my future. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. you have a beautiful inheritance from the God who knows. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my conscience instructs me. I will keep the Lord in mind always, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. I will keep the Lord in mind only at church on Sundays and on Wednesday evenings at small group. Please say no. No. I will keep the Lord in mind always. And as you play my rugby game, or if I'm out and doing massive corporate deals, or even whatever you're doing, I'll keep the Lord in mind always, for he knows and he holds my future. Guys, let's turn to the one who knows. Do not be afraid, little flock, for you, your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. I love this little flock. Hey? Especially in the legal and corporate world, you wouldn't necessarily look to guys and say, hey, you great man of the world, are you willing to be part of his little flock? But that's what he asks his sons and daughters. And that's conflicting. It's difficult for the flesh. It's as was said this morning earlier, it's the lust of the eye, the lust in the flesh don't want us to take our hearts, our minds, and even our lifestyle to a place of being yielded in little flock. But that's the space where he holds your future. That's the space where from he will lead you. That's the space from you where you will hear the one that knows. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. And what is the kingdom, guys? What is the kingdom again? We've said this before. It is very simply where the king's will is done. Let your kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, that situation we talked about, her job, you're buying your vehicle, making up with your friend, sorting out relationship issues, whatever the case may be, it is saying, Lord, let your kingdom come here on earth. Let your will be done, your heart be done. Let your wisdom be done. And then lastly, what is that? Romans 14:17 says, for the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, and this is what I want us to take home, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Our good Father, with a beautiful character, loving, perfect Father, wants to give us the kingdom. He knows what the kingdom is in every situation. Whatever you're facing, he knows what the kingdom is. And it doesn't necessarily always look the way we think. He knows what the kingdom is in your life. He knows what the kingdom is in your family. He knows what the kingdom is for your future, because he holds it. But let us be little flocks so that he can give us righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Childlikeness is the key. Will you stand with me as we just finish and pray? God, thank you for the privilege that I can be a son. Thank you for the privilege that I can be part of a little flock, Lord. Lord, and thank you for the grace upon my life and Edna's life. And I just realized in preparation, Lord, all the dozens and dozens and dozens of testimonies, Lord, that you've shared with us and took us through, Lord. Thank you for that. Thank you that you've been just showing us your heart through your word, but also just practical life. If you just very simply want to grow in the trust of the Lord and his heart, his Father heart, and you would like prayer for that, just raise your hand very simply. If you just say, Lord, I see good things, I hear good things, but I don't always experience them, and I know it's not on your side. Lord, just please lead me into that. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Very simply, as a child of God, I just say thank you for loving us all whole. Thank you, Lord, wherever our picture of the Father and his heart is distorted or hurt because of previous bangs and hurts, thank you for loving us whole, restoring us through Christ. Thank you for grace. Please come and relay the foundation as it might be necessary. And give us the grace to realize that sometimes, even if it takes a season, that you're just redoing our foundation. But thank you, Lord, that in this church community, God, I pray, Lord, that we will have the right foundation of the way we see and understand and look at you. I thank you for that, Lord. Thank you, God, that you are the God that knows. And I pray for the reality of that in all of our lives. I pray for more testimonies, Lord. More testimonies. But more testimonies means more risk and more faith. please grant us the grace to walk in faith and to take the risk to know the one that is driving is fully capable, the perfect lover of my soul and a good father. If you just want to yield your life afresh today, just for that truth, say, Lord, I want more testimonies, not for the sake of testimonies per se, but to get to know you, to get to know myself, and to be a true light and soul. But I need the help to be yielded. I need the help not to go the way of the world, Lord, but your way. Just raise your hand simply. Thank you, Father, for these hands of childlike yieldedness. And I put up both my arms, Lord, because I want that. I want the fullness of the life that you had planned for me, for my family, for my children, but for everybody in this church community and everybody that our lives touch. In Jesus' name. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Holy Spirit, to lead us. And thank you that you will come and germinate and make this, and even, you know, just water these seeds, that it will grow in our lives and that we'll enjoy the fruit of that. Authentic Christian living, not according to anybody's experience per se, but according to the Word, the powerful Word and the ways of God. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen, guys. Thank you so much. Please have some cake and coffee and fellowship, and then go make testimonies with your father this week. God bless.